over there moving things around and moving things to the bench and around and learning some things. Plus, I got some components out of it. I might actually get my microphone project off the ground.
What microphone project is that?
Well, I've got an old Electro-Voice Kardex, and the element, that dynamic element in it is gone, or whatever it is. It's no good. And I started on it, but I never figured out the voltage-reducing circuits and things, you know, to run the phantom power to power an electret microphone cartridge. And I'm going to put an electret in it, try that and see. So he gave me resistors and capacitors, plus a voltage regulator. So it's real simple to step the voltage from 48 down to 35, and then that steps it from 35 down to 8 volts. So, and it'll regulate it. So actually, I got some components. Maybe I could get on that project this winter.
Where'd you get your electric condenser element?
Radio Shack.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, that, I'm trying to remember what voltage they want on those. I used to know this. I think, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't that only requires like 12 or 14 volts, right?
4.5 to 10. So I'm going to put 8 volts to it.
4.5 to 10. Yeah. Are you going to use that as your studio mic then?
Oh, I don't know. I might try. I've put an XLR connector in it. The connector that was in it was bad anyway, so I drilled it out and put in an XLR. So I'm just going to just an experiment.
I'm just trying to think here too. Even if you get that thing powered, when you plug it into your rack, aren't you gonna? You're probably gonna need like some kind of a capacitor to shunt that DC to ground or something, aren't you? I'm trying to think how Bob Heil used to do it with his electric condenser microphones with Hycoms. It was a special you had to do with those. But I don't know. I'm not even awake yet.
Yeah, I've got some capacitors as well. Electrolytic capacitor. You put one across it to shunt that to the ground. Exactly. And it's in the diagram here on the package for the element as well, too.
You know, those Radio Shack electric condensers actually are surprisingly good sounding. I've used them before. In fact, I fixed Larry's microphone once in INFQC. He had a hand mic that went bad on him, and so I tore the element out of it, put in a Radio Shack, and it ended up being the best sounding mic he had.
Yep. Well, that's what I was told, so I bought one. I don't know, they're a dollar or two, a couple dollars. They're not very much. I figure I've got more time and effort and everything wrapped up in the other components than I do in the mic element. But I figured if I get this, I can try it and then experiment if I find other, mic elements or something. Maybe I can, swap them out and try them. They said sometimes even putting two in makes them sound even better. I was reading something about that. So who knows? Try maybe two different ones and see what they come up with. K9 JSP.
K9M. Well, it was real easy in Larry's case because he was running a 570 Kenwood. And as you know, Kenwood radios supply you with 8 volts from the front mic jack. So I used that 8 volt line to power that element, and it worked perfect.
Yes. But, yeah. And they're going, well, why don't you just run 8 volts out, from the microphone jack. I said, because I don't plug into the mic jack. It's hard to explain to some people why I have to make it so difficult.
Yeah, right. Well, you want to use it as a studio microphone and plug it into your rack. So, yeah, exactly. You have to build your own little power supply. Heck, just use a 9-volt battery or something.
I know. I didn't do that. Let me see if I can... I want to see if I can build this voltage reduction circuit and get that to work. And if I can get that to work, then the putting the mic element is a piece of cake, you know? Should be.
Yeah, you know, it seems to me that Greg had a microphone project. He was working on it one time. It's been so long since he's mentioned it, I don't remember exactly what he was planning on doing, but I know he had some kind of a... It seems like it was a condenser project of some kind.
Yeah, well, there was somebody out there had some condenser mic kits or whatever. I don't know if he was going to do that or what he was doing for sure.
Really loud this morning.
I get the feeling he's aware of what what's going on. I talked to some guys on 40 meter and there's somebody talks down just down below them, and it's the same thing. You can flip down there and flip it to upper sideband, and he's got a lot of he doesn't have good upper sideband rejection, that's for sure.
Well, I'm not going to say a word about it this morning. They were here first anyway. Those guys were in here before I came in, so that's all right. There's plenty of room down here.
Yeah. Yep. That's enough of that said. So I didn't get the lawn mowed yesterday because it never really dried up. In fact, the guy brought the repeater in and said they'd quit farming because it was too wet.
Oh, really?
So it's sun's supposed to shine today, and it's supposed to be a little warmer, so maybe things will dry out, and I'll get it this afternoon. Tell you what, I swear, what it was Saturday or Friday morning, and I heard that the hurricane was going to hit Bermuda, and that thing's clear up in Canada now.
Wow, it moved fast.
Yeah, something about them when they get out there in the when they're out there in the Atlantic Ocean and they turn and go north to northeast, they just take off and go really fast, because it's like it took days and days for it to approach Bermuda, and then all of a sudden, man, a day, well, less than 2 days, well, 48 hours later, it's cleared up in Canada.
I'm glad we don't have hurricanes here.
Well, we had one once. It came through as a tropical storm.
Seems like I do remember the remnants of one that came through a few years ago. In fact, you could still see the kind of the swirl patterns in the clouds, and we got the after effects of it. But Which one are you referring to?
That's the one I'm talking about. It was a hurricane that hit the Gulf Coast down there around the panhandle of Florida, down around Mobile or whatever, and kept right on plowing and stayed strong all the way up through, and it was still a tropical storm when it got up here. And you could, even the National Hurricane Center, the tracking cone or whatever, showed it plowing right straight up through here, and it came up through. I remember that because we had warning, and I was out cleaning gutters, and everybody around was saying, man, we got to get gutters cleaned out, get things, you know, because it could get really heavy rains for quite some time and winds and that. So there were some preparations made, you know, pre-storm prep.
Huh. You must have been more affected by it than we were, because we didn't get I don't think we got a drop of rain out of it. I do remember seeing the weird cloud patterns, but I don't think we got anything out of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the track of this Hurricane Gonzalo, and it's supposed to go over and hit, it looks like Ireland. Yeah, looks like it's supposed to hit the north part of the British Isles. I think that's what that is. Tuesday morning. In 2 days, it's supposed to track clear across and hit there.
W8SF.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, good morning, Paul.
Good morning, all.
You're in good form this morning.
Thank you. Everything's nominal.
That's good. As long as it's nominal and regular, you're okay.
Yes. I haven't tracked storms very much. I was gratified to see that today was going to be clear. It looked kind of bad early yesterday.
It's supposed to be pleasant here today, too. 60, I think we're supposed to get under. It's a clear sky. Mostly cloudy today, but the rest of the week looks clear.
43 this morning. I'm burning gas.
Wow. Yeah, we're down to 30. We're about ready to start burning coal.
I got to start being a bad boy. You know that, John?
How's that?
So Santa Claus will bring me a whole truckload of coal for Christmas.
Oh, there you go. Now, that's how an optimist would look at it.
We crowded from below. We're up at 32.
Yeah, there was some activity at 25, Paul, when I first came in here, and they were pretty strong, so I just felt it was wise to get away a little bit. Because I'm a courteous operator, and you're not in at 30.
Yeah, don't say you're a gentleman, K9JSP.
Dibia. 9 A.D.
Hi, Dave.
Hola, John. Un John. Un Paul. Whoever else.
W.E.S.F.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning and good morning to you.
Here, Dominic was in here splitting Loud and Boomer.
Loud and Boomer?
You're splitting Loud and Boomer.
Okay, I'm running the Anon Flex Redidio.
What the heck was that?
Morning, men.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Mr. Bill. How you be?
Just woke up, waiting on my coffee. How's everybody this morning?
Well, I'm all right. How are you?
Multiple bueno.
Half asleep, John.
Regular.
Hey, Paul.
Hi, John.
Bill.
Yeah, Bill. And Dave.
I was up late last night watching them football games.
Yeah, how about that Notre Dame Florida State ending? Holy cow.
Yeah, Notre Dame got ripped off, but it was a great game for both teams.
Oh, you think that was an unfair call?
Yeah, I didn't like that. I could see it coming, though. The refs were leaning towards trying to call something against Notre Dame, I thought.
It's a heck of a good game either way. I take it you were pulling for Notre Dame?
Oh, yeah. I bleed blue and gold.
Were they undefeated coming into that?
Yeah, they sure were. Both of them were.
Right. I knew Florida State was, but wow, that's got to be a painful loss.
Yeah, they were ranked fifth in the country. They won't be no more.
Man.
But if you're that close to the top team, you shouldn't fall too far.
Now, are they... They're not out of anything at this point, are they?
Well, you know, they got that playoff this year in college football. So the top four teams in the polls will go into the playoff system. And with one loss... Well, there was five unbeaten teams yesterday. Two of them lost, Baylor and Notre Dame. So even if the rest of them go clean, which they won't, because two of the others play each other. So more than likely, they only beat possibly two unbeaten teams in the year. So that puts two teams in it with one loss. So now they're not out, but the polls don't favor them too well. I would expect a one-loss Alabama and maybe like a one-loss Auburn or something like that.
I guess I didn't realize the college system worked that way.
This is the first year for it, John.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
It's our new system.
Yeah, I was going to say, gee, have I been missing something here?
That just started.
I was thinking the same thing, John.
Well, I don't follow college ball per se anyway. In fact, it was kind of a fluke that I even watched that Notre game last night, but I saw what the score was, and it looked interesting, so I watched the second half.
Uh-huh.
Notre Dame's got like three more ranked opponents yet in the next 3 weeks. That's going to be interesting for them, just getting through their schedule clean.
Well, I was surprised to hear that last night was the first real road game that they've played all season.
Well, that's not really true. It's just the way it worked out. But they've played, this is actually their third road game. But their first two were at neutral sites.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, how come their schedule has been such that they've always played at home?
They play these specialty games. You know, Notre Dame's kind of a big draw when someone gets to play them, so it's a money-making game. So they play these specialty games at bigger stadiums, so the opposing school has a little more draw, and it also helps Notre Dame's recruiting. You know, like if they're playing Syracuse, for example, why play at Syracuse? Go play at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I gotcha. And I got to keep remembering this is not pro ball.
Right. Yes, just because they do that, they say that they're home games away from home, which is a bunch of baloney. Anytime you travel, you know, that far, it's an away game.
Paul, what gets you up this early this morning on the radio?
I just got up specially to speak to everybody.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm honored.
Wow.
Impressive, ain't it, Greg?
You know what? That is. Good morning, Paul, Bill, John, Dave. Who did I miss?
Hey, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Good morning, Greg.
Bueno dia, Gregor.
I'm dragging, too, because I watched the game.
Yeah, Everybody's more than 20 dB over in my input.
Yeah, everybody
is, too. And, Dave, you sound especially good today. I mean, really good. What kind of... Are you on Netflix?
No, not.
Oh, that's... Okay.
I know there's a story here someplace.
I guess there is. I don't know.
Who told you that? Tyler?
No, I just sounded really, really good this morning. I just was wondering what you were doing.
I'm just talking into the radio.
You know, it has cleaned up a little, hasn't it?
Very quiet this morning.
Paul, you obviously have your amp on today, huh? The heck with the neighbor.
Yeah, well, it's early enough that I hope he's not doing anything. Hope he's not playing his guitar.
Yeah, guitar players there, they get up late, Paul, most of the time. He was probably up late last night playing, and he's all burnt out and passed out this morning.
By the way, I heard Tyler's signal last night.
Was there?
Where was he? I poked around 20 meters and 17 and stuff where he was. I didn't hear him anywhere yesterday.
No, he was on this frequency. I forgot what time it was. I didn't call him. Maybe 9 o'clock.
So, Dave, what's the deal? You've been playing with your audio a little bit?
I haven't done a thing, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Did you see at the end of that game last night, Greg, what Florida's coach whispered to that quarterback?
No, I must have missed something.
In the game, he was up close to his helmet, right up next to it, whispering. And the camera guy and news lady got close enough. You could hear what he was saying. He told him to not run around and be a jerk. Act like a man after the win. Don't be foolish. Be humble. He was afraid he was going to do something stupid.
Well, that's good advice.
Yeah, you know, I like that interview afterward, Bill. Actually, that guy seems like a pretty decent guy.
Oh, the Jimbo Fisher, the coach?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Sounds like he really wants to keep some integrity in his game.
But I think if he was following all the issues Florida State had this year, I think he made that statement to try and contradict everything that's went wrong down there this year. They've had a lot of trouble with a couple players.
They are a good team, wow, though.
I'll tell you what, that Winston is good, isn't he?
Yeah, and they're quick. I mean, it was amazing how fast he could, you know, set up a play and throw that ball. With the defense rushing him, it didn't matter. It just, boom, he found his guy.
Those balls were bullets.
Both them guys, both them quarterbacks are outstanding. I still think, Notre Dame, if you look at the stats, though, it wasn't even close. Notre Dame had 500 yards to Florida State's 300. And the rushing was unreal. Notre Dame's young defense is pretty tough, you know?
You know, you watch that game, you felt like you're watching two top-ranked teams going at it. I mean, you really felt that. It was a good game.
Oh, yeah, it was a treat to watch. It was a great game. I just didn't like that last call.
K9JSP.
K99M.
WB9DNZ.
WHSF.
M9VR.
W's9AD.
going to be interesting to see the rankings when they come out today. Baylor was unbeaten. They lost yesterday, too. See, what, who's it? Does Indy play today? Who do they got?
Yeah, they play Cincinnati at home at 1 o'clock today.
Oh, that'll be good. What about the Bears?
Who does the Bears play today? I don't know.
Oh, looks like Miami.
Their website.
The Bears?
Yeah, it used to be easy to just pop in there. You knew what day the game was on, what time, what network was covering it. You think you can find any of that stuff now?
They don't give all their info on there anymore?
It's probably here and I'm just not seeing it, but I was used to their other format. They changed their website not too long ago. Funny how you get used to an interface and then they change it and you feel lost for a while.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's the only reason I have not changed my my ham radio website. It's way out of date. I mean, that thing was designed for 800 by 600 screens, for crying out loud. But I'm afraid to change it at this point because everyone knows where everything's at on it.
I think you could get away with changing it. As long as you kept the info basically the same.
Yeah, I kept the hierarchy the same, yeah. I keep the same menu links and all that. It does need an update bad, though.
Probably not as bad as mine, though. My son said he'll do it for me. I think he knows that front page. He said take some pictures and he'll change some verbiage in there and... Mine is way, I think I got the 850 in there or something.
I discovered yesterday that my computer has 88,000 files on it.
I would think it has more than that.
Well, the count that I made stopped at 88,000.
Would you watch a antivirus do a check or something?
Yeah, Microsoft has a sequence there that steps through the files and I guess it checks the first byte in every one.
Yeah, you know, I was telling you about my daughter's laptop, John, not logging into this network after they changed that modem.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it just started working.
Yep.
What the heck?
It's Comcast. I've heard a lot of stuff about that with Comcast.
Well, this is AT&T, but I think it must be the same BS.
Oh, by the way, yeah, that. Yesterday, there was a fiber optic cut in St. Louis, so there's been some issues. I guess a backbone was installed and temporarily is providing service again. But I think that affected a lot of networks. I don't know if that was related or not.
Yeah, that'd be strange.
Of course, they've been having this problem for a while, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've had this U-verse. They put it in, what, a month ago? Three, 4 weeks ago, something like that. And I've had trouble trying to, you know, I bridged the two routers together. And after I'd done that, it worked for a little bit. And then it quit for no reason. So I thought, you know, what could possibly be wrong if it worked and then just quit? And I went through that thing a half a dozen times and I can't find any issues. Then last night she turns it on, it just logs in and starts working. Can't figure that one out.
I got a really kind of a sad email this morning from Ham. I don't know if anyone knows Joe, N3AIN. I evidently talked to him on the phone many, many years ago. But he emailed me, and I guess he's a musician, plays guitar, and has been for 40 years in clubs and stuff, his acoustic guitar. And he was at a restaurant here a few weeks ago, and had his standing by his PA speaker, and something went wrong, and he got feedback, about 5K frequency feedback in his left ear, and it took it out. He actually lost his hearing for 5 minutes, and then when it came back, everything in his left ear is distorted now. And if that ain't bad enough, the guy's blind too. So he's asking me for advice what he should do, and I'm thinking, well, I think he needs to see an ear specialist right away. What do you guys think?
I think I would see a doctor if I'd ask a ham radio operator.
Well, he mentions here that he talked to an EMT, and the EMT told him he's probably got nerve damage, but I don't sound right to me. I don't think a loud sound could damage a nerve. It might damage the eardrum or some part of the mechanics in the inner ear, you know. But I don't know why that would damage a nerve. That just didn't sound right to me.
Especially those high frequencies break the little cilia inside.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking happened. And now he claims he has a notch between 4 and 6K in his hearing. You know, he can do a sweep, a tone sweep, and he loses it between that range. So that feedback destroyed his ability to hear in that range.
That may restore itself. Something to hope for, at least.
That's what I'm thinking too. Right? That's the only encouraging thing I can think of is to reply back with, because he's kind of asking me what I think. But I'm certainly going to encourage him to make an appointment with somebody that's a specialist. And the guy doesn't have any money to speak of, so I'm hoping maybe some specialist will see him pro bono. You know, because he's blind too, that's a very valuable loss, you know, to lose what he's losing there. So I would think some doctor would be willing to look at him.
Yeah, that's actually horrible. What did he do, get hit with a real big amount of decibels of the level of the 5K? Or?
Yeah, he was standing 5 feet from his PA speaker, and his ear was facing it directly when it went off. It was super high power, 5K in his ear, and it lasted, he says, about 4 or 5 seconds before he could get to the board and turn it down.
Yikes. I'd have had my finger in my ear real quick.
Yeah, no kidding.
K9 JSP.
W8FF.
N9BR. And I'm going to grab a coffee.
WB9DNZ.
W9AD.
Did you get any amplifier work done yesterday?
Oh, I did. I blew it up again last night.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. It was exciting.
Well, hopefully the blow-ups are starting to happen farther and farther apart.
Well, actually, you know, the thing was working normal. Everything was checking out. It was on 80 meters, and I was running 50-watt input,
had a little over 1,000 watts, 1,200 watts out. Everything's looking good. But when I get to that 75-watt drive mark, it blew. But this time, I could see where the spark is. My blocking capacitor, I think, is the culprit. That's where the spark was. I think that thing breaks down at that high voltage. And I got a new one ordered. It's been slow in coming. That's that part from Sweden. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to wait, get that part in there, keep cross my fingers, because the thing was just working. Everything about it was working just as it should yesterday. It really was working well. Good gain, good everything. Its tuning was smooth. Everything was just right on the money. But the minute I got the 75-watt input, kabam! But this time, I saw the spark and saw the flash where it was at, and it was in that DC blocking capacitor. So I think I might be onto something here.
Is this some rare capacitor that needs to come from Sweden?
Well, it doesn't need to come from Sweden, but they, you know, when you get a blocking capacitor, usually in the 1 to 2,000 picofarad, it's got to be able to handle, you know, lots of current and extremely high voltage. In this case, 15 to 20K. You can buy them in dozens of places, but they're usually 50, 60 bucks a piece. They're not cheap if you buy a good one. This one from Sweden, these were a little on the cheaper side. I think I bought two of them for like 25 bucks, so I was just being tight, John.
I see. Boy, these things must be monsters.
Well, yeah, they're like a big steering wheel. I mean, this one that's in there now is probably 3 inches in diameter, John. It's like a steering wheel that sits in there.
Wow.
What's the dielectric?
Like I said, Paul, this one that's in there now, I think, is rated at 15 kilovolts on the dielectric, and it's 2,000 puffs. It just looks like a big ceramic steering wheel in there.
Okay, the dielectric is ceramic, is that it?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Yeah, this one is ceramic. I'm sorry. Yeah, this one is ceramic. Some of them are the mica type, but this one's ceramic. Something I bought at a ham fest, so, and I think this one I got is probably made in China. Problem is, some of those capacitors are for flash technology, and they're not really, don't have the current capability. This one supposedly does, but I don't have the documentation to prove it, so, you know, it might be the wrong cap to begin with. We'll see.
Then you can design the whole circuit so it doesn't need that.
Like a true engineer.
He is.
It's warming up here. It went up to 37 degrees.
Yeah, it's 46 here.
30.
You're still at 30?
No, actually, it says 32, John.
It is warming up, isn't it?
It is, yep. My tomatoes are probably frozen.
43 in Columbus.
Here.
Ooh.
Oh, you got a pretty good freeze there, Dave.
32.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 35 when I got up, and it's up 2 degrees to 37 now in an hour.
So I guess this means summer's over.
Looks that way.
Dave, you're going to be in the warm tropical winds here sipping your margaritas before long, right?
Yeah, Diaz, Diaz.
Ah. Do you notice your verbiage getting better and better over there as you visit more every year?
Oh, yeah, you know, you just... I mean, we're still bad, but... you know, when somebody says something to you, you understand it a little bit quicker and you can communicate a little bit better. But the problem is we're gone for so long that, you know, you pick up a little and then you, you know, we're not down there for months, so you forget some and you got to go back and got to relearn. And but it's a little bit better, yeah.
Can you say phrases and stuff like now in Spanish?
Yeah, probably a few. They're probably wrong, but, you know, Francisco and Diego Salina that take care of our place there, they understand us and they don't laugh at us, so it's probably pretty bad, though. They speak about as much English as we speak Spanish, but we get along.
I was in Puerto Rico for 2 years, and I didn't get very much at all during that time. I spoke English, and they answered in Spanish.
Yeah, you know, down where we're at, there's more people that speak English and probably understand or can speak English and understand it, but don't do it, you know. But the thing that we have found interesting a few times is kids on the street, if they think you're a gringo or something, they'll start talking to you, not really asking for money and stuff, just to practice what they're learning in school, and it's kind of interesting. We had that happen in a bakery where the father was with the kid one time. He could really see, like, he wanted to get the kid to actually speak to somebody, you know. Yeah, use what they're learning in school, you know, so, which is, it's kind of neat.
I found myself really shy and couldn't force myself to try very hard at speaking on my own. As you can tell even now.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
I imagine that there's a right way to speak, and I usually fall short of that.
So, let me ask a question. If it's foggy here, will we have frost, or will that fog, that heavy amount of moisture, keep it from getting a frost?
I wouldn't think the humidity would be good.
Yeah, because it's foggy. I was upstairs, it's foggy, and it's like, it says it's 100% humidity right now, K9JSP.
I'd say that's prime conditions for frost, don't you, Nina?
86% here.
WB9DNZ.
W8SF.
And AZ8DE.
Scotty.
Hola, Scotty.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Scott. Enjoyed the video there, or the pictures there of the karting.
Morning, Scott.
Hola, everybody.
Glad you enjoyed the karting.
Never did that indoors, but I did it outdoors when I was younger.
You know, we had the kids down there on Friday, and it's just a hate, you know, to be able to do that inside. The other problem is you don't know who you're going to get on the course, whether you're going to get people that can't drive, or you get people that are at least, you know, giving them a good attempt.
Somebody spent a lot of money on all those asphalt tires, though. Well, maybe not. They may have been throwaways, and they were given to them.
Yeah, those are like old race tires. Either, you know, pretty bad, a lot of them. But a lot of them looks like they were taken off prematurely.
We had a go-kart place here growing up called Kartway. And that was a hoot. I can't tell you how many times me and my buddies were thrown out of there.
I got my amp on now. What, for like ramming people and stuff?
Yeah, going too fast, cutting people off, right. But we didn't care. We were very competitive. And you know, the secret was, Scott, was you had to watch a couple of people drive those things first and determine what the fastest cart was, because it was always one cart that seemed to be revved up a little hotter than the others. And I'd try to keep my eye on that and see who had the acceleration, and that's the cart I'd go for.
Yeah, well, down here you can't. It's, there might be a couple carts that are a little looser, but they're all about the same speed. It just comes down to how good you can take it around the corners.
Yep.
I was doing pretty good Friday night, but I just can't break into the 28s yet. I'm low 29s, but just can't quite get there.
How fast do those do?
They'll do about 40 down the straightaway.
Is that the video you sent out here a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I sent a Dropbox link, I believe.
Those things were doing 40?
Yeah, on the one stretch, they'll do almost 40.
Wow. I had no idea it was that fast.
Scott, I think you're just half fast.
I've known that about myself all my life, Gary.
Good morning, all K4UU.
Gary.
Morning, Gary.
Morning, Gary.
Good morning, all. It's still dark 30 here in Kentucky.
Sweet morning, Gary. Here. Hey, Gary.
Bill, I looked for you yesterday afternoon on 40.
I was on for a little bit, down around 146. Then I moved up around 160 for a while. Then I get a phone call.
I didn't come down until about 3 o'clock.
But I was probably on 45 minutes or so, right around 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I got off about, I came down about 3 o'clock, so I guess it was too late.
Yeah, I was there at 3 o'clock my time, so that was late.
The band wasn't real good, actually. The guys up on AM have good signals, but down low on SSB, the signals were kind of puny here yesterday.
Where was this at, Bill?
On 40 meters.
Oh.
Hey, I made my first 60-meter contact yesterday.
I've never done that yet.
I talked all the way across the big metropolis here of Towanda.
Is that 2.8 wide?
Yeah. Menu B on the 870. What, I don't know what that is. I think it's down at 2.6 or 2.7, something like that.
Is that the limit there?
Yeah.
Yep.
There's like 50 watts designated channels too. 2.8 by Bill. Around.
Right, and it's low power.
Yeah, I forget what the power limit is. What is it, 100 watts or something?
Well, my chart says 50. Maybe they raised it to 100. I don't know.
I'm thinking they did.
I believe it's 50, or it used to be.
Or was it, did it used to be 50 ERP? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a 50 ERP.
And didn't they jump that to 100, though?
Look, I don't know what the date on my chart is. So it's a couple years old, but I don't know.
Well, my chart, this one here, has the new frequency because they changed one of them. And it says 50 ERP, so that's what I stuck at.
Well, heck, a guy could run a kilowatt then and just say, well, the affected radiated power in that direction is only 50 watts. Gosh, talk about vague.
I thought the E was estimated.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, evidently.
50 watts, 2.8 wide.
I don't know, for some reason I just don't get excited about that.
I can't imagine why.
You know, that 950 would be a waste on that band, wouldn't it, Bill?
I don't know if I can get that narrow.
I know. I could, but I certainly have no intention to.
I guess I could go into the DSP menu and turn it down, but...
Well, you are...
Like I said, local here, that's pretty good because it's fairly quiet, you know, and you're not going to have any problem getting local around here.
Bill, can't you select your 2.7 and your 883 during transmit?
Oh, yeah, but don't forget, all those filters are jerked, and they're all different, so the low number on this by selecting filters is 4K.
Oh, what did he do with the 2.7? Did he take that out and put something else in?
Yeah, I don't remember what now. I'd have to look at the paperwork.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Wow.
Oh, yeah, this ain't made for contest no more.
What? No contest.
Well, that's all right. It's for what it's dedicated to do, it's hard to beat.
But I know you can go into that one menu, whatever number it is, I don't remember, and turn the, you know, the DSP on. And I think you can select, what, 2.4, 2.8, 3.1, and isn't that the 3?
Yep.
Hey, John, Tyler was on last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was talking to Jeff and Doug, and WQ9A came on for a minute, and Tyler broke in and said hello.
Oh, okay. Doug was in here, huh?
Yep. Doug was here, and just for a few minutes, and... It was about 8 o'clock and 8:30, and there was just for about 20 minutes, and we had a kind of a nice little round table going.
I heard some of that.
Let's see, Doug, is that BIS?
Yeah, BIS was in telling us about flying this model airplanes.
There was a lot of talk about hot cars.
Yeah, they got, Jeff got out of the Subaru, and there was talk about cars and motorcycles.
Hey, Bill, you got everybody set up on a mailing list?
I don't have a, you know, like a group thing, but I got most everybody's email.
Alrighty, I'm going to just pass this over to you, shoot this to everybody. It's pictures of that top section. Of that round 55 and with the prop pitch and the ring rotator on it.
Okay, cool.
Did that go up with a crane?
Oh, yeah, we'll do a single pick with antennas on it and everything. So it weighs 1,065 when we're done.
How much tower?
It's 120 foot of tower.
I don't think my gin pole would handle that.
Bender like a noodle.
Derek, what'd you set on base?
I'm sorry, say again?
Did you set it on base?
Did I set the what on the base?
How the tower, 100 and some feet the tower, and you set it on a base?
Yeah, it's set on concrete. It's been there. The tower's been there for years and years.
K9 JSP.
Did you set it on an existing tower that was sticking up?
ACD. Yeah, it's not up yet. It's still in the parking lot, the top section. But yeah, it'll be an existing tower.
WV9DNZ is going to re-coffee.
Mind you.
WASF.
WS9AD.
Bill, I guess I was at 2.6 on the transmit bandwidth. This has got 18, 2, 2.3, 2.6, and 3.
Well, that's playing it safe.
Well, yeah, next one from 2-6 is 3, so I'm sure the frequency police would hammer me.
You know, don't you have to transmit on, like, something or other 1.5 to be right on to?
No, I think if you tune directly to the frequency that they have on upper assignment, you're where you're supposed to be.
I know I've seen some odd frequency numbers on those channel lists.
Well, I mean, obviously I've heard other people, and I've tuned right to those frequencies, and when I called the guy yesterday, we were right on, so that must be right where you need to be.
Yeah, the reason I've never done it, John, is my antennas aren't, really won't tune there. So I'm not sticking an antenna up for that.
I've done it once or twice. Force fed it, you know, with the roller inductor tuner. And it worked.
Shoot, you're only doing 50 watts anyway. I can use the 40 meter dipole or the 80 meter dipole, the radio attuned head. And, you know, obviously the antenna's not tuned for it, but it works.
Yeah, I would bet like John and Greg's loops would probably work pretty well there.
Yeah, I just left my power cranked to full. I figured probably 75% of it was getting sucked up in the feed line.
No doubt.
Well, that's what I thought too, but no farther than I was transmitting, I figured I'd just put it on 50.
I understood. Yeah, just talking to you. I did it last time. I was talking to some guys down in Florida, so it did okay.
Yeah, I got this set up in menu B, Bill, so I just click it to menu B, and then I know that I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Oh, set and ready to roll.
Yeah, that is a good feature on that.
Get those photos, Bill?
Not yet. It looks like they're coming in now.
I'm going to go get coffee. I'll be right back. K9 JSP.
All righty. Got them now, Scott.
Okie doke. Ring rotator is a beastly thing, Bill.
It looks it.
Hey, how'd that go, Scott?
Good. We got the tower section set up right, and we got the ring rotator mounted on it, and that was about all I got done on the top tower section. That was a bit of work in itself. I had about little six guys out there. We actually took the ring rotator, set it on the plywood, then set up the picked up the they had the power section already sitting vertical, and then picked it up and set it in it.
So everybody stayed safe, obviously.
Yep, yep. Maybe a couple of skin knuckles, but that's about it.
Oh, you're always going to have those.
Yeah, that ring rotator with the motor on it and everything is 340 pounds.
It looks heavy.
Ooh.
Well, it takes more than a guy or two to lift and hold that thing up.
Yeah, we used concrete blocks to set it up to get it where we wanted it, and then bolted it in place.
Now, that's a 55G tower?
Yeah, that's 55G.
Now, how wide is that from leg to leg?
Oh, what are those, 17? I honestly can't tell you off the top of my head.
So they're the same as a 45?
Yeah, just that the 45 is an inch and a quarter tube. These are inch and a half tube. And the bolts are the same size on 55G.
Okay. Well, knowing the size of that tower gives you an idea how big that ring is. And that's, of course, is that you standing there next to it or somebody else?
That was somebody else's leg. I was taking the picture.
Yeah, the leg gives you a little idea, too. That thing's pretty big.
Yes, it is. Came in a big old wood crate. Yes, Richard Kaiser XG does a fantastic job.
So that big plate on the side is a clamp for like a mass pipe?
Yeah, yeah. Normally, you guys would be like mounting their, the full size 40 or something like that on that. But we're instead mounting a short piece of pipe goes through there with two angle brackets. And then sticking out the one side are two fiberglass booms that go out about 6 feet. And those, and then there's they're held at the ends with philistrans, a vertical piece that goes on top of that saddle there. And then the 2 meter beam goes at the ends across that those fiberglass booms and parallel with that saddle.
Did you forward that, Bill?
Yeah, you guys should. I did. You guys should have it any minute. It's done, went out. But, so if you guys all check your email, you should all have it. What's the big hole opposite the clamp?
That's where the motor mounts. I don't have the motor on there yet.
Okay.
I just saw something odd. I help wanted ad for a cashier at the Kmart, and they just announced this week they're going to close the Kmart store here.
But they're hiring?
That's what it looked like to me. K9JSB, short-term work.
Maybe everybody quit, and they got to have somebody to help close.
KB9N.
ACD.
N9VR.
WB9DMZ.
K4UU.
Kmart's been out there 50 years, and they're going to close it.
See, they're owned by Sears now, right?
Yeah, there's a Sears store right across the street from them.
Yeah, you guys should have those pictures any second.
Yeah, I just checked. I don't yet.
No, I didn't scale the pictures down. Sorry, they're pretty big.
That's okay. You can blow them up this way.
AT&T must be examining the integrity of them.
Yeah, who knows what they do? Sometimes this email's goofy.
Yeah, I think the other day when you sent one, I got it like an hour later.
I don't know why they do that.
Yeah, I remember that the other day, Bill, same thing. It took me forever to get that picture.
Well, like Jeff and I, or RWS Jeff and I are both on AT&T. You think he'd get mine real quick? Nope.
Bill, I was telling these guys the reason my internet was down yesterday was because of a fiber optic cut in St. Louis on the backbone.
And that affected you right at your house?
Well, that's evidently where my service provider gets their backbone streaming is from some fiber optic that comes through St. Louis. Now, Rich had service with Comcast, but he's in Dixon, so... You know, they may be feeding their providers with a different backbone, but there was some big fiber optic cut yesterday, so they're still repairing it, but they got me on a redundancy backup network temporarily.
I'm on Time Warner in Columbus. They seem to have improved themselves over the years.
Yeah, Bill, this is slower.
Figures. Did anybody see those emails yet?
Huh?
I wonder if anybody's got that email yet.
I haven't.
I got it, Bill.
Okay. At least I know it went out.
Well, how do you rate, Greg?
I'm special.
That's what these guys keep saying when you're not here. Hey, Greg, he's really special.
Yeah, they must have updated my service. John, you're going to love this. I checked my speed yesterday.
It's coming in now there, Bill. Yeah, what'd you have?
55.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. How many up?
It was about 11-something.
Sheesh. 11 up?
Holy yep. crap.
That's sick, man.
I could have sent that email in a second.
Yeah.
That's obscene.
Well, on a good day, Greg, I'm 7-1.
I'm 22.
Right now, I'm at 6.82 down and 1.06 up, so it's pretty much up to par right now. And I got it, Bill.
Okay, cool. I'm still mad about that football game.
I can tell. I hate to admit this, Bill, but I was kind of rooting for Florida State.
Well, I think the majority were. Notre Dame somehow in the national eye seems to play out as the bad guy. I never understood that, but...
Well, I think it's all their self-promotion. That can hurt you, too.
Yeah, kind of like the Yankees, huh?
Yep. Boy, that's a hunk of hardware, ain't it?
Hope to shout.
Ah, cool. Nice picture, Scott.
Yeah, thanks. You know, when they took this down, there was a tick-ring rotator on it. And that thing is tinfoil compared to this thing.
Now, is this commercially built, or did somebody build this for you?
I mean, commercially built, I guess you'd say. K0XG, he's the guy that builds all the big ring rotators and tower rotation systems for contesters. He's out in, Iowa, Missouri.
So I take it a standard rotator would not have functioned as expected, yet you had to go with something like this?
Well, you can see there in the middle of the tower, that's the prop pitch rotator inside the tower. And that turns the antenna at the top. And then this is for the big 2-meter beam that gets cantilevered 6 feet away from the tower. That turns independently of that, and it's cantilevered away because you can't have the 2-meter beam that close to the tower. The metal messes up its pattern.
I see. Okay. Well, this was an elegant solution, then.
Well, it's certainly a heavy solution. It had to be kind of heavy because you've got a cantilever out there. You can't have a lightweight ring rotator.
And it's multi-purpose.
Yes. Multifunction.
Yeah, that was your complaint before. That's a 2-meter beam up above the monster. And of course, if the VH guys were there first, then the guy, HF guys couldn't use the monster. And they were, not everybody was happy, but this way they're independent of each other.
Did you use a crane to set that on top?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like I said, this, by the time I get that done, the 2-meter beam on there, and then the crane comes and sets the monster on top of this. The pick is 1,065 pounds, so yeah, it's a crane-only deal.
Yeah, that looked like it required more than rope and pulleys.
Yeah, it'd be some big rope, big pulleys, and the bumper of a Jeep. And I would not want to be the guy on the tower.
It's pretty cool. Looks like that counterbalance where the motor and the drive goes in and stuff, and then the other side for the boom. Cool deal. Nice pick, Scott.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to share that. That's I was really impressed by this guy's ring rotator. You know, like I said, I've only seen the tick rings before. You know, and I looked at his website, and it really doesn't do this thing justice until you get it in your hands. I mean, my photos are better than his.
They do look nice.
Are those grease cirques I see on either side of where the boom mounts?
Yeah. It's got like 8 grease cirques on it.
Yeah, I see one sticking out to the side in that picture where the guy's leg is there. It looks like a, almost like a brass fitting.
What is there, a mirror on the side of that?
Yeah, there's another picture I could send you, Bill. You can see down in the hole and you see the gear.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That's what I was wondering, if that like a worm gear.
No, no, it's a spur gear arrangement. I'll shoot you that picture.
Okay. So it's kind of like an automotive starter.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. I'll grab some coffee. M9VR.
ACAD.
Close enough. K9JSP.
W8SF.
K4UU. S9AD.
So that top piece slides on top of the bottom piece, and the grease circs is just what gives it its cushion, the grease in between.
Well, there's rollers in there. It's on steel follower rollers. Yeah, you grease it up though, of course. Yeah, there's nothing sliding. It's all bearings.
Okay, yeah. What'd that thing cost?
With Dara's deal, because, you know, he shows at the show, $37.50. I think normal price is like $42.50.
Good grief.
You know, after seeing it, though, $42.50 is a fair price, really.
Yeah, it's quite a gizmo, isn't it?
Yeah, that picture's out now.
Okay.
That includes the erection on the site?
Oh, I'm afraid not.
Oh, okay, I'm impressed.
Yeah, it's coming in now, Scott. I'll forward this one, too.
Yes, we were just set at the parking lot, and you can see down in it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That looks like a flywheel.
Yeah, I guess it kind of does.
What? Just a ring and pinion setup.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The motor goes on this thing, and it's got a gearbox underneath it, like a Browning gearbox. It's a beast.
Are there any steppers up there?
Yeah, there's the top of this tower section. There will be mounted a monster stepper, one of the original ones with the 70-foot arms on it.
I have discovered that steppers require maintenance.
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, I have set this entire arrangement up so that all the cables and everything are in a junction box at the bottom of that top section. So when you need to maintain the stepper and everything, you just go up there and you disconnect all the cables from one spot, pull out the 6 bolts and lift the tower section right back down.
I always wondered how those things work. Now I know. I'm glad you sent this.
You're going to make one of your own, right?
Well, I could. If you're looking at this, it wouldn't be hard to do it. I don't really know if it would be this quality.
Now, what you got to keep in mind, Bill, is that most of the time, when guys put these up, the tower's already there, and they put these up in pieces. So you disassemble the thing and you haul it up in pieces and bolt it to the tower.
Yeah, it'd probably be your only choice, you know. That's the way you guys are doing it, putting it on the last section, lifting it up. That seems like to me, working on the ground with something this big and heavy would be much, much easier.
Oh, yeah, I mean it, but the time it took us to mount that was probably less than an hour.
What would it take up on the tower? Just think about it.
Oh, it'd be all day. All those pieces, jeez.
You know what a guy could take? A guy could take and make one of them. Depending on your tower size, you can get an automotive flywheel and a starter to mate with it. You could actually take some automotive stuff and build this thing.
I don't know if the flywheel teeth would be big enough on a car engine. Maybe a truck engine, though.
Yeah, there'd be something you could use.
Yeah, bull gear's got some big teeth on it.
Yeah, it looks it. The motor, is that low voltage?
Yeah, it's a 24-volt DC motor.
Now, does that come with some kind of an indicator for the shack end that tells you where it's at?
Yeah, it comes with a green hearing. It should at that price.
Okay.
Still haven't got that one, Bill.
Should be there any minute. It's went out. You have it, Greg?
Yeah.
I can only open up the first fissure, can't open up the second one.
Hey, Gary, I braced those legs yesterday. I got that done before dark.
How'd it work out?
Great. I took a piece of the Roan, the old TV mast pipe, you know? Got a few sections of that laying around. Cut them to length and then took the cutoff wheel and split them.
Oh, I bet that worked out great.
clamped right on really great. Three stainless steel hose clamps on each one seems to be really good.
Is there a timing mechanism somewhere in this, Scott?
Yeah, for position, I assume you're talking about. Yeah, on the motor, it's much like a prop pitch. There's a bar with a magnet, and they use a proc switch. It counts pulses. So the green here and remembers where it's at based upon those pulses.
Okay, so yeah, once it's calibrated, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll calibrate it for north on the ground and, you know, kind of make sure I'm within 5 degrees or so before we put this thing up. Then we can tweak the angle once it's up there.
Pretty cool.
It is, and it comes with all the cables, you know, the motor sits on that top, so the motor turns with it. And it came with all the cables with the Brad Harrison's already on it, and the junction box, and you don't have to do anything but just plug the connectors in and tape them up. It's pretty sweet the way he did it.
See, that thing's probably heavy duty. You could really load that down with some weight, couldn't you? Does it give any limitations with it?
No, he said it handles four element full size 40s with ease. He says that some guys have full size 80s sitting on them.
Wow. Well, we got another good frost this morning.
Keeps getting warmer here.
The sunlight is hitting the tree tops west of me, and everything else is real frosty and dark. Really cool looking.
Yeah, we got a ways to go before we see daylight yet. At least a half an hour.
I think my garden's done.
If you didn't get frost, you got to freeze anyway.
I cleaned off my desk enough here so that I could get to the wire to run the push the talk on the Anon with the switch. Woof.
Just now coming in, Bill.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it, Bill. Yeah, that's what I figured it was. Just a straight gear ring and pinion.
Yeah, actually pretty simple, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah. It looks like a starter and flywheel.
You know, I could never picture in my mind how those things work. Now seeing this, it's really easy.
Yep, that gear is attached to the tower. The bowl gear, it just sits there. And then the spur gear sits on the top ring with the gearbox. And so the spur gear moves around. You know, and the spur gear is driven by a 5,000 to 1 reduction gearbox. And then the motor sits on top of that. And then, of course, the little pickup is off a shaft off the back of the motor.
Clever. So you have to have, like, a loop on the... on the cord to the motor because it travels around the whole tower.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. He supplies it with the connectors and the right lengths and everything. It's just ready to roll.
Is there a standoff with that?
A standoff? What do you mean?
Like where the cable would tie off to the tower below the ring rotor?
I don't think so. I've got to look. I've not looked at everything that's in the package, but he seems to have thought of everything so far, but I'll let you know.
It seems like they'd want to keep that, you know, 10, 12 inches away from the tower as it's rotating.
And waterproof gets to be a useful item years later.
Yeah, you better be going up greasing that sucker at least once a year.
Now, how high is that going to be?
That is right at about 115.
So whoever gets the grease gun job's got a little work to do.
So everything's dependent on those three tabs inside air welded?
Yeah, yeah, those three tabs hold it to the legs, and there's three U-bolts per tab. These are heavy tabs. They're better than a quarter inch thick.
I wonder what kind of stress that puts on the tower legs.
I don't know. That would be the weak point of the chain, I think.
But, you know, that's a truth statement with any type of Roan tower. Because I look at the prop pitches, you know, they're sitting on the brackets. There's only two U-bolts per bracket. You know, think how much weight you have sitting on top of a typical prop pitch. And that worried me. And I talked to a bunch of guys and said, nope, never had a problem. So I'm like, okay.
Well, the length of the tower gets to be kind of a cushion to rotational forces on the beam.
Yeah, and of course we've got torque arms on this tower. You really have to with something that big.
The guys, the guy wires have no help whatever, you might say, on the torsion.
What do you mean?
Well, if you put ball bearing, or if you put the guy wires do not help for the torsional twist that is given to the tower by the wind blowing the beam.
Oh, yeah, the normal ones don't. Only the six that attach to the torque arm, yeah.
You know, when you get the antennas all assembled on it, you going to take some more pictures?
Oh, yeah, sure. We've been taking pictures all along.
Yeah, I want to see the antennas mounted on this thing.
The wind manages to blow on one end of the antenna more than the other on occasion. So it gets exercised.
Every time I look at that thing, it's like, holy crap, what a beast.
Now that's, yeah. I'll bet when the crane lifts that up, they won't have any trouble with the bottom part of the tower staying low.
No, I did the calculations on that because that was a concern, you know, because the monster is, what, about a foot above the top plate, and it weighs 325 pounds, and then you've got a little bit of mass pipe above it, so you figure you got 350 pounds above that point, but then I started looking at the weight of the tower and the section and load the weight of the prop pitch, the weight of the plates, and then the 340-pound ring rotator plus the 65 pound antennas right there up against it. It's like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to have trouble with this thing staying vertical.
That'd be interesting to watch that operation.
Oh, yeah. I've got all kinds of people saying, oh, no, make sure we're all in the loop. We're going to comment and video this. And I'm like, all right, we'll make sure everybody can come. It'll be a three-ring circus.
Hey, Billy Bry. Morning, Billy
Bry. Billy Bry.
We hit 31.1 with the freeze line this morning.
Yeah, when I picked up puppy poop this morning, the grass is all just crusty. K9EY.
Hola, Piera.
Hey, Pierre.
Hola, hola. Hey, Bill, I put it up on my, I put the OO guidelines up on my club's reflector, and one guy came back and he really liked your other stuff that you had on your website. He was very interested on that history.
Well, that's interesting. I figured someone would give you some grief out of that, because that was all done as, you know, kind of a joke, but some guys didn't take it that way, especially the L craft guys.
Too. He enjoyed the, this is what he said, I enjoyed the history of ESSB.
Oh, that's John's website. That's just a link on there, yeah. That is a good history link John made.
Well, I can thank Billy for a lot of that information.
Does that mean it's accurate?
Yeah, I think the history is. I've talked to him, and who the heck else did I talk to? Someone else too. Howard. No, not Howard. Harold. Harold helped too. But between him and Billy, they kind of filled in those missing little pieces of data there from the very beginning. So I wasn't around when these guys started all that stuff up.
Yeah, Harold would know. He'd tell you the way it is.
Oh yeah.
When did Tyler come in on the ONA band?
Well, he was in there before I was. He was in there, I think, late 90s, 98, 99.
I remember listening to you guys on my 7:30 radio way back then. Well, I used to see up and say hi to Bill and listen to Tyler's mockeries back then. Wonderful what you guys
were
doing.
I did too. I remember hearing the guys on 14178 way back.
Yeah, that was it. That was kind of the channel
that I'm hanging
on. I'm
sorry, I was reading. I lost the train of thought. I forgot that was the frequency. This didn't exist back then, did it, John?
What's that? This frequency?
Well, it wasn't available for our use.
Nope.
I can remember listening to sidebanders come down there, and regular sidebanders, and crab at the EFSB crowd, and give them a hard time about, why are you so wide? You're right here in the DF window. Blah, blah, blah.
That was never a 10-minute thing.
Bill would sit there pacing, and, well, we're just experimenting. It's a pretty hard problem. You know? We're sorry it's that much, but just another form of ham radio, if you think about it.
He was really a gentleman, wasn't he?
He was the kind soul. Never let anybody ruffle his feathers.
I remember one night when some Portuguese people were upset.
I used to like to listen to Bill when he turned his beams across the pond and talk to the guys in Italy and in that area. He was a pretty interesting guy.
K9 JSP.
Is educated aluminum, right? The 9 bear.
WB9DMZ.
WB9AD.
K9EYE.
K4EE.
Mac and I, another guy here local to me that used to hang out there a lot, we used to take bets how long it'd take Joel to come in and bitch.
Who won most of the time?
Oh, well, you know, whoever picked the shortest time, either way. Joel.
Parsons, and Mal will still talk to his brother. And what is it? 172, 175, somewhere in there. Every Saturday, those two hook up and listen to them go back and forth.
Are they running audio gear now?
Well, if they are, they're still pushing the mid ranges.
178.
No.
Used to crack me up, you know. Joel would do all the complaining and stuff, you know, along with the other guys. But then here, I don't know. It's been a few years ago now. I heard him. He was on like a PR-40 or something on a IHY box. I'd laugh.
Don't come out on something like that. Dave,
I've even heard you talking. I'm cleaning my desk.
What prompted that?
Somebody spilled coffee.
Oh, I don't know. I was looking for something. I found it. I found all sorts of stuff here that's been buried for years. And I thought I'd take a picture or two. My son said he'd remodel my website. I told him I don't want any changes. You can just take the picture. He said it's real easy to just take the holes where the pictures are now and stick a different picture in there and change a little verbiage and stuff. And I haven't, you know, nothing's been done to it since the guy who put it together. He doesn't talk to me anymore because I don't like
Obama.
So it's just been sitting there. I'm not talking about you.
I know. But I still like you. Get my... Oh, man. When I first got on AF, there were you, WIUD, EXC, Golf Echo Charlie, and another Bob. And we used to be on there every morning. Boy, you and... I could hear you through my,
That's because I was broadcasting.
You still do, you big brute.
Hey, yeah. At the risk of boring everyone else here, I've got a guitar story for you.
Oh, go ahead. Let's bore everybody.
Well, yesterday morning, I plugged in my electric to put a little bit of front on it, and I kept noticing that my bass E string kept fretting out at the fourth fret. Nowhere else. No other string fretted out anywhere, just the E string at the fourth fret. And I thought, what the heck? And so I raised the action a little bit, and that didn't work. I raised it some more, that didn't work. I had the strings almost a quarter inch above the fret, so it was still fretting out at that one fret. So then I did some neck adjustments, and that didn't help. And I got to the point where there's something here I'm just missing. And under close inspection with my reading glasses on, I noticed that my E string, the bass E string, had a bend in it between the fourth and fifth fret, so that the string actually went downhill in between the frets when it came up to the fifth fret and wasn't out. So it was all due to a distorted string that had been on the guitar for probably well over a year, I'm ashamed to admit. So a fresh set of strings and a reset up job and all is well.
Oh, that's cool. I thought maybe the outer winding of the string was broken. That happened to me on the fourth string. But now I learned, it's expensive in 3 months. You're really active. You have to play.
Well, that's the lesson. You know, when I play in the band's PR, I would change strings every other job. Because 4 hours is a lot of playing time. And so 8 hours was the max I'd ever put on strings. But, you know, now that I'm not in a band, I just play here at home, I kind of get lax about changing the strings. But I've never seen a bass string get deformed like that. You know what I'm thinking is something, I must have dropped something on the string. And it must have bent it right there, because that was the strangest bend I've ever seen in my life.
Should have tried turning it upside down.
$52 every time I change strings on my rig.
Why?
This is one string, that's why.
Oh my gosh. And it costs you $50 to restring that thing?
$52. I think it costs $34 to string the rough flavor or something like that.
Oh yeah, I know, there's a lot of tricks out there. Well, yeah, that's pretty pricey.
Well, by my money, $3, like $35. I think I bought a pair of was it $7 or $8 for 2 29 volt batteries? Welcome to our new world order of inflation. Yeah, if you don't run down the 9 volt battery, you can recharge this up to top and bottom. You gotta be careful, you can't.
I've never had a problem here suspending a string because I stored my kitchen, you know, eating it in and out of a few strings, but I'm pretty flexible too.
Yeah, so do I. I use the, well, you know, I use the big wide string. Big. Actually, it's a dolphin stick is what I use.
If you're doing good at those windmills, dolphin.
That's weird, though, bends in your E
string. Yeah, I've never seen a string do that before.
You must have shooting your BB gun in your room.
You know, I do remember the guitar fell over here about 6 months ago one day. It didn't take a hard fall, but it fell. It was standing upright, and it fell against the edge of a table. And I think that's probably when that string got bent, because I noticed it was awful buzzy in that area after that, and I never really paid much attention to it until it got so bad where it wouldn't play that note at all. So that evidently is probably when it happened, is when it hit that table. Well, this guitar, Pierre, it has actually two strap bolts at the bottom, and at the bottom of the guitar is not rounded. It's got two legs on the guitar. The guitar itself has two little bumps on the bottom. It's kind of hard to explain, but there's guitar straps on each side of that, so it will stand up on two legs on these two strap bolts, and. And then I lean it, you know, then I lean it the string side against whatever's, you know, or whatever I got handy, a table or the desk or whatever. And it stands usually pretty secure. But I just remember one day I kind of accidentally let go of it and hit that tabletop. Yeah, I'm thinking that's exactly when it happened. And I'll bet if I go in there and measure the distance, I'll find it's perfect.
Yeah, that would have been my Ricky. I would have been
K9JSP.
K9.
ACAD.
WA-F.
WB9DNZ.
Okay, everybody can yawn now.
K4EU.
I wasn't bored.
That's like me listening to Jeff and Steve talk about the motor gear stuff, or Greg and some other guys talking about capacitors, diodes, so on and so forth. So it's kind of the same thing. I'm sensitive to spending too much time on one subject.
Or hear me talk about racing.
How about them honey bears?
Huh?
Why, what'd they do, Bill?
Oh, I don't know. I thought that was just a good subject we all could enjoy.
Do they still have them?
I think, don't they?
I don't know. I thought they disbanded them a long time ago. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Well, maybe they did, John. I really don't know.
Hey, Bill, why, doesn't John sound like the sugar bear?
Yeah, well, I knew one of those former honey bears.
My neighbor collects guitars. He recently got one from Russia. I don't know models. It's non-electric, totally acoustic, and it has some kind of metal projectors inside it. It makes loud sounds.
It's probably a Mach Bar Deluxe.
Yeah, yeah. A hubcap resonator.
Hi, old Dobro.
It sounded pretty good to me.
I love the sound of an acoustic guitar. I've always wanted a classical. I've never had one.
Oh, those are nice. Yeah, my Dobro that I have got it weighs 30 pounds. It's all steel.
You never owned a classical guitar?
Nope.
Well, that was the first guitar I bought that my mom thought was a
waste of money. Had a lot of acoustics, but never a classical.
That's the one that's in my stand that's out. It's right there ready to grab at all times.
Is it all nylon strings?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
The Yamaha. And they still make the same model. I bought it for like $94.
Yeah, I want to mark these ones.
I played my Malaguneon, my Benny Flamenco style.
Martin's way overpriced, Pierre.
Well, you can just send me a guitar. I can bash a hole in it and send it back to you.
You know, what would really make it authentic, Pierre, is if you had an actual joint burn on the guitar.
Scott, all I need is just a little grinder and a little time.
Always sounded so thin.
A grinder for what, John? For the top of the guitar.
Oh.
Yeah, put a hole in it, you know. I'm not going to bash one in there, just grind one.
Well, it's got to be authentic, you know. It's got to have a hole in it like you got a bar fight, you know.
Oh, I thought his was just worn out from playing. Yeah. Well, no, an El Cabong guitar, yeah, I could do that.
Well, that's how he had this original hole in his guitar. It was something fell on it or something at the gig and punched a hole in it. I was watching Pawn Stars, and a guy brought in a 41 Gibson pre-war, and he had documentation that the thing was owned by Stephen Stills, the band, and they had an expert come in. These guys were drooling all over that sucker.
Stephen Stills is pretty good.
He wanted, the guy was asking $110 for it, and I forget the owner of that show's name, but he was just wanted it bad. He ended up agreeing to $95,000.
Wow. You ever see the one YouTube video where Stephen Stills does, what's the name of that song? Southern Cross. All acoustical.
Not I.
Yeah, it's really good. I love it when they do those unplugged versions. Oh, they're dynamite. Eric Clapton's got a couple real good ones, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like this version of Layla.
Yep. I've got, I bought the Kiss version. I'll tell you what, they were great unplugged.
Kiss?
Yeah, and acoustic, unplugged, you bet. Sounds completely different, you know, but very, very good.
I wonder if Gene Simmons was still hanging his tongue out with the acoustic.
I don't know, I didn't get the video, I just get the audio.
Even Paul Stanley used to look like a puppy dog.
I saw these guys live in the 70s.
That would have been a good show.
It sucked.
No kidding?
Yeah, the backup band was a lot better.
No, really? You know, from what you've seen on TV, you always thought their live shows were fantastic.
Well, it was a lot of fluff and stuff, you know. They were okay. But, you know, what moved it for me, Bill, was the backup band was Rush. And Rush came out and kicked butt.
Oh, well, yeah, I could see that.
Rush was the backup band? In comparison. I mean, it really was. So, I became an instant Rush fan.
Yeah, Neil Peart, something else, I think.
Oh, those guys were just technicians. Oh, yeah.
You know, the worst concert I ever seen was Jethro Tull.
Oh.
That was kind of odd.
Like their sound was off or something? I don't know.
And no, it was just weird.
ACD.
N9BR.
K4UU.
No, later, I gotta go, and I don't know nothing about no white honky music. 09AD.
JSP, see ya, Dave.
You've been listening to those Mexican bands too long, Dave. See ya.
No, I've been listening to my bruhs.
See ya, Dave.
No. Just waking up. You're going to the kitchen, the wife's getting up here, so I'm out of here. Catch you all later.
Bye, Dave.
Yeah, I gotta hit it too, guys. I will catch you later, ACAD.
See you, Scott. Thanks,
Daddy. See you, Scott. We're playing a special call from the team in Germany. I went to one in Kansas City, and it's just fantastic. It's
created as a favorite top 10 country bad record. You know, any band can have an off night, and it's hard. It's hard to get live sound right.
Be a lot of morning, I'm going to give you a big chance to play. It's on Zoom here, it's on
drove up there a few times, and basically you can probably have the sound dial there. So, you need to have a whole different. What was the venue when you talked to Paul at a book?
No, at the Athletic and Convocation Center at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
This one just, I don't know, it was just weird. It wasn't right.
What year was that, Bill? Do you remember?
I'm going to guess and say
about 1979.
You know, there's a lot of bands that way that are excellent in the studio, but just can't reproduce that live. And I've always been told that Fog Hat was a classic example of that.
I like Fog Hat.
Oh, I did too, but I hear their live concerts were always horrible.
Yeah, I've never seen them live.
I like their studio stuff. Yeah, he knows a little about concert sound.
You see where he's got all his microphones and stuff on that TV show with Tim Allen now?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, what do they call it? Last Man Standing? Then Tim Allen actually took his AM test, I guess. In real life now, he's AM.
No kidding.
Yeah, he is. He's got a call. I think it's a 9 call, isn't it, Bill?
I don't know. I know he's got homes in California and Michigan, so I'm not really sure. I know on the show it's some oddball 2x3 7 call or something. I can't remember.
But even the show's call is on QRZ.
I thought his real last name was Dick.
Tim Dick?
Yep.
Are you for real?
Yes, I am.
Well, I could make a few comments on that.
You know what, John, I get the feeling that's probably what I'll have.
Yeah, that just sounds good.
Scrambled egg and
some nice spicy Bob Evans sausage.
Yep, I'd imagine we'd have sausage links, and those scrambled eggs probably have some onions and some, maybe some peppers and some celery and little goodies like that thrown in, maybe even some mushrooms, you never know.
Wait, was Jeff in here early this morning, John?
I haven't heard of him, no.
I was wondering if he got in before the ham fest.
Nope. Didn't hear any.
I talked to him last night, and they had about 20 or 30, I can't remember, unsold tables, but it sounds like so. Going to be a pretty good ham fest.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to make it. By the time I leave my mom's and get up there, I'd only be able to have about an hour of open fest.
WHSF, my cat is demanding food. I'll see everybody later.
See you, Paul.
Good to hear you this morning, Paul. I hope to catch
you again soon.
I'll be back.
Hey, good you got to join us there this morning, Paul. Enjoyed chatting with you. Have a good one.
Death can be rather perturbing when you're demanding a consent. Then you go through a whole routine.
Cats usually are pretty predictable because they are very routine oriented. And that's what's been making me kind of suspicious of my cat. She's 15. In the last 2 months, she hasn't done anything the same. She's changing all her habits.
Yeah, I'm getting to the brain in a moment.
She used to religiously take a nap with her every day. She'd be right there with her. And now she's getting a nap with her.
Have you ever noticed that you rearrange the room and it always disturbs the cat? You know, if you're going left to the other room, or a box. When you get a box or shipment or something, you open it up and you pull it out and then you leave the empty box on the floor and invariably the empty box is left to play with it. And they always, always notice when you get those suitcases out that something's up.
See you up here.
Yep, super sunny to you up here.
Catch you later, Pierre. Have a good day.
Yeah, I'll go through a day of fuzzy. See you later.
I think a big old plate of biscuits and gravy sounded good. Some spice and sausage, a lot of pepper. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's awesome biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, I like to throw a scrambled egg right on top of it.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. Then another layer of gravy.
Yep.
A big old slot plate.
Did you ever see what time that bear's game is today?
I think 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Did they play today? Where they play?
Home.
Oh, I mean, what team?
Miami.
Okay, it's a noon game, got it. Oh, no. I'm not going to be able to see it.
Got blocked out?
No, it's not back down. It's on CBS, but I can't get CBS anymore. My time isn't for some reason. My time doesn't pick up Channel 4.
Where's that out of the Quad Cities?
Yeah. Something happened here a couple months ago, and I just cannot get it anymore.
Did somebody put up a skyscraper between us?
I don't know.
You know, I was having some issues with my outdoor antenna. I went and checked it the other day. One of the connectors was loose on the transformer up at the antenna. Just snugged it up and everything's fine.
No, that's where it's got to be, Bill. I'm going to have to find that tower here in my head and inspect that because it's the only one I can think of. See, that's the only channel still left, I think, on our VHF frequencies. All the rest of them are UHF, and they all work fine. And I suspect that part of the antenna is shorted out or something.
Yeah, mine's easy to get to. It's on a sidearm about 25 feet.
K9 JSP going for copy.
And I got to find 40 feet to get to mine.
A 9 beer. My antenna just covers UHF. We don't get any VHF here. It's too far away.
Well, I preferred it when it was all on VHF because the signals were stronger.
Yeah, quite a bit so, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
We can get some UHF out of Chicago, but I'd have to put the antenna up higher and probably use a preamp.
I got the biggest Ontario Vanguard mix. It's supposed to be rated for 120 miles UHF. And all I gotta do is hit 50 miles. And I got a clear shot to the horizon, so this thing should easily pick up everything. One single piece of coax between the antenna and the TV.
No preamp?
No preamp, no breaks in the line, one straight shot.
You know, you get a good low noise preamp, stick it up with the antenna, it really does do a good job.
Yeah, I really didn't think I needed one because I've got full signal strength on all of them, so, you know, I just didn't want to make it more susceptible to RFI from the radio here.
Yeah, well, if you're getting a good signal, you wouldn't, but, you know, we're kind of in the fringe, like for Chicago, so... They actually, with the preamp, you get a lower noise floor. You don't have a much better signal. So it does make a big difference here.
Well, I've been putting it off. I guess I'm going to have to go up and do that. I don't know why I want to watch the news, but...
They'll beat Miami.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Well, it depends if the good Jay Cutler shows up or the bad one shows up.
Yeah, that's a helter-skelter thing. He is hard to put your finger on, you know. I mean, at times he looks like he is the absolute best. And then it's like, what happened? He's definitely a Jekyll and Hyde on the football field.
He won't impress me better unless he can figure out how to beat me.
You know what, how he would impress me?
What's that?
By leaving Chicago.
Yeah. I have to agree.
I really think until they get, you know, get away from him and get somebody else in there, they're just never going to work.
Nope, it's just not consistent.
They need Bobby Douglas back. Douglas back.
You know, I like Bobby Douglas. It was odd watching him being left-handed, but, well, he could fire the ball, couldn't he?
He had a great arm.
I bet you he'd have been a hell of a baseball pitcher.
I saw some footage when Flutie first came to Chicago, and I'll tell you what, I think all the teams had him, and rather go in a big mistake.
You're right. Thought he was too small. I seen that Bobby Douglas throw a pass so hard he knocked his receiver over one time.
Well, you know, that's the way that the guy from Pittsburgh was when he first came up. He could throw the ball so hard, but not a lot upstairs can bring that.
Oh, that Rosenberg or whatever his name is.
No, I'm talking about the guy that won all the championships with Pittsburgh.
Oh, Terry Bradshaw?
Yeah, Bradshaw had an unbelievable arm. When he first came up, didn't understand the game a whole lot. He got better as the years progressed.
You know, when he was in college at Louisiana Tech, he was the backup quarterback to the Duck Commander guy?
Yeah, he did not have a tremendous career in college.
He couldn't win the opening, the first string job from that Phil Robertson. I guess he was an outstanding college quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He, Terry Bradshaw couldn't break the first string. He always played backup to Phil Robertson. And then senior year, Bradshaw got a chance to start.
and done good enough, you know, that he got drafted. But hearing it right from Bradshaw himself is pretty interesting. He said it wouldn't have been for Phil Robertson walking away from the game because he wanted to hunt ducks. He would have never gotten the NFL.
Bill, did you know that Bradshaw's son-in-law just got killed in a car wreck?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was the place kicker for the Titans.
No kidding.
Yeah, Bradshaw's son-in-law, he got killed in Nashville in a car wreck.
That's too bad. Yeah, that, if you looked at Phil Robertson up on Google him or something, John, he had quite a career as a college quarterback.
Hmm. He is a pretty big guy.
I'm trying to think of who Phil is. That's not the dad?
Yeah, that's the dad.
The guy that got in all the trouble over his comments, right?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, he's the one that started that duck call business.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, Terry Bradshaw, somewhere it might be on YouTube, sits down and does an interview, like a 10, 15-minute interview, and talks about that. It's really interesting. It's crazy because, you know, you see this Duck Commander show, and you see Robertson and Phil, and you would never, ever suspect him as an athlete.
Look at the 1967 picture. I would have never known that was him.
Totally different, isn't it?
Yeah, he's really gone country, hasn't he?
Yeah. That's a pretty good Alan Jackson song, too. If you like Alan Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just Google Phil Robertson football, John.
Well, I hear frost on the ground and the deck and things.
What team did he play for?
I think it was Louisiana Tech. Yeah, they weren't a real successful college team, even though he was a really good quarterback. You know, he didn't have a very good supporting cast. So in his senior year, he just gave up football because he wanted to hunt ducks. Yeah, who would have guessed that?
You know what a really good duck call goes for now?
Yeah, I have no idea, Gary.
They're in the hundreds of dollars.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it's big business, and the guys that go to those duck calling competitions, it's unbelievable.
Do you watch NASCAR?
Yeah, occasionally.
You ever see the Dale Jr. call?
Oh, yeah. He's got a kind of weird sound when he drives in the swamp.
That's funny, isn't it?
It is that I was duck hunter.
You know, somebody's actually making those and selling them now?
No, I didn't know that. I know that I had a friend here in town that used to compete in a lot of competitions. He went on to stunt guard and everything, and they developed a routine and everything, and it was just unbelievable. And he got so successful, he started making double-reed call, and he bought a lathe and everything and started making lot out of all kinds of exotic woods.
I just sent you a link.
What's that protein shot, Bill?
For the dunk quarterback.
Yeah, I've been looking around the internet here.
Yeah, I found one on NFL. They got a little bit here on it. It's pretty interesting. Probably nothing you haven't ever seen.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Thanks. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and sign. I'm going to dress up and speed up my... windmill power on my children this morning and see if I can fix that connection, because I've got to get CBS back.
I don't blame
you. Yeah, Karen is going to make me some scrambled eggs and Bob Evans sausage, so I got a good breakfast coming, too.
Okay, I think I'm going to scat, too. I've got to go to mom's in a little bit. I'm kind of hungry. Let's see what's cooking upstairs for me, so...
Hey, you guys all have a great Sunday.
I'm going to be busy watching football and play on Fortinville today. Have a nice day.
See ya.
See everybody.
Enjoy your day off, Greg.
Oh, yeah. Greg, I told my amp hurt when I was listening to you guys.
Hey, Greg, are you going to be on later in the afternoon?
I might be, Gary. It all depends if I do a project for the wife or not, but there's a 50-50 chance.
On 40?
Yeah.
About what time?
Oh, it'll be in the middle of the afternoon, probably around 2:30-ish.
Okay, I'll go about 1:30 my time and look around.
Cool.
Later.
See you guys. I think I'm going to go up and recoffee and get breakfast. K4UU.
K2. Catch you guys later. WB9.